Wednesday, December 7th, that date that hurtles out at you, assaulting your eye and your memory whenever you see it on a date book or calendar. I was up early, but not in time for John Ben, who rose at 6 and went for a walk along the river. About 9 o'clock, he and Lyndon and Don Thomas and I rode around the proposed park, carrying Udall's plans, which calls for an administration building, house dioramas, the geology and wildlife, history of the area, nature trails, and fields of the wildflowers of the area. And we're all groping for some way to show the wildlife of the region, white-tailed deer and armadillo, jackrabbits and skunks, and wild turkey. We talked to John Ben about our plan to leave the ranch house and the guest houses, the whole complex, including the cemetery and the birthplace house, to the government for a national park when the last one of us dies. But until then, and within the next 2 years perhaps, our problem is first to get over the hurdle of finishing acquiring the land across the river, and then developing it in the way that shows the region most attractively and would interest more people. John Ben Shepherd has become Mr. Parks and Recreation in the last few years, heading up John Connolly's drive to get all the interesting historical sites listed in the Texas County Historical Survey Association, working with tourism and restorations and museums, and now head of the Texas Fine Arts Commission. Bringing this park into being has proved a very thorny and time-consuming project. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Association, Will Odom and Jimmy Dillinger and A.W., the hostile, suspicious press, and a complete lack of understanding that the park will be a historical and economic asset to the state of Texas in time to come, and that the people who are contributing to it are simply believing in their state's future and preserving something for their children's children to enjoy. The old LBJ Ranch House as a national park after we are dead would be a sorry sight, with a necklace of beer joints and curio shops strung up and down the river right across from it. And I believe those that come after us will credit us with forethought and good planning in making this park, but it's been a headache. Lyndon thinks it would be a good idea for the park board to request the governor to appoint someone to handle the fund for completing land purchase and for development. John Ben would be a natural because of his work in the field. The park board thinks well of the idea, and so does the governor. So that is what this visit is about, to explain what we have here and what we hope to do with it, discuss John Ben's taking over the job. From the park, we went into Johnson City, drove past the courthouse and Linda Bird's street trees and the bank and Lyndon's boyhood home and the fort. And I told about Mrs. Bybee's exploration of the fort with me, along with the University of Texas research man. John Ben was very much intrigued, and then back to the main house. We showed him the Reagan and the Martin and the dance, and then I left them for a while to ride around with Mr. Carter, talk to him about getting some clumps of sumac to plant along the runway, some fast-growing trees to screen that necessary evil, our dump. He's replacing the ligustrum in the little Johnson City Park today. I asked him to be sure and move the crepe myrtle, perhaps to the east entrance, when the little cement dance area was put in. It's quite sad on the runway to find a scattering two or three sumac and redbud and paradise bush that were planted last fall out of the dozens planted. But then, of course, they had no care, virtually none. At 12 o'clock, I helicoptered into Camp Mabry and stopped by Shanks and selected some delightful end tables for Lucy's apartment. Jesse has been trying to give her a wedding present since August 6th. He wants it to be furniture. Secret Service had picked us up some fried chicken in a box. We arrived at Lucy's apartment armed with 4 boxes of delicious chicken and preceded by Helen, who was lovingly donating a few hours of cleanup, and Mr. Klein, who was finishing hanging some pictures. Pat and Lucy and Mr. Klein and I sat down to my favorite meal of fried chicken. Pat firmly insisted on paying me back for it. Very nice manly feeling, I thought, and I took his money with approval. Mr. Pike came out with the tables, pictures of others we could order. They fit well and looked fine, so Jesse's wedding present is decided on. Then we moved other furniture around. He showed us pictures of 2 small day beds for her guest room. Select the fabrics in her own good time. Later in the afternoon, I went to the federal building, to Lyndon's large and handsome office, which had been furnished completely without insight into his taste, in a sort of modern oriental manner. But it is a Goliath of a job to change it, and the suite is comfortable and the view beautiful. So I hope we will just give it some feeling of ourselves, paintings and books and memorabilia. This was the first installment, 6 paintings. Happily, they fitted like a glove in hand. George Caleb Bingham's county election in his office over the sofa. Delicate Malaysian girls playing the exotic musical instruments in the dining room above the sideboard. A picture which the last astronauts had given us. A great slice of the coastline, including Texas, and our own ranch as a mere flyspeck. A picture had been taken from Lord knows how high up in space. That I hung where everybody could see it. And everything was just great. In the haphazard fashion that we acquire things, it is certainly happenstance that anything ever finds a spot where it's at home and needed. So I had that housewifely feeling that I was managing well. I left the federal building feeling very smug and satisfied, only to be completely frustrated in the next hour when I went to 5 electric stores looking for a simple item, a pinup lamp, possibly a bullet lamp, put above the beds in the trailer. It's been a long time since I've followed my career of purchasing agent for the ranch. I mostly turned it over these last years, first to Louise Kellum, and then to Wheezy Deep. Now, I have more respect for the difficulties they encountered in trying to get the simplest things. It's good to try to do the other fella's job every now and then. The 5th try, we found a half-satisfactory version of what I was searching for, and I left in the sunset by helicopter for the ranch. Arriving at 6 o'clock, hungry to see the country and Linden, there was only a glow left in the sky. The talking machine told me that he was down at the cemetery, riding with Senator Dorsey Hardman and Lieutenant Governor Smith and Marvin and Jake. I joined them, and we rode around the dance and the Martin, having a drink and talking with Dorsey Hardman about my trip to the Big Bend country, about Texas parks in general. He's strong for them, about the one across the river in particular. Both he and Lieutenant Governor Smith approved of the idea of John Benn handling the fund and the development, and talked about all the characters in Texas politics, from John Garner, to whose 98th birthday Dorsey had just been, Tom Conley, on down to today. Dorsey is a rare character, an unabashed conservative, outspoken, tough as nails, somehow, quite strangely, has always liked us through ups and downs and in spite of frequent differences in our political philosophies. We're seldom around him, and we owe him much. I could see Linden saying thank you without putting it into words for years of friendship. In fact, this period here this fall has seen a good deal of that, to groups, to individuals, just as though he wanted to use his time well to express his love, in case there wasn't all the time in the world, to Mary and James and the Secret Service and any number of old friends. He heaped them with mementos, the president's country. Dorsey pleased me very much by calling it the collector's item, with our autographs, and the oak tree picture, and some other things. Then we had dinner, Lucy and Pat and Marvin and Jake, Marie, Mary, and Ashton. A very country dinner, liver and ham and cornbread and buttermilk and vegetables from the ranch. Saw movies of our Australian trip, including Dorsey's good friend, Ambassador Edward Clark. They said goodnight at a fairly early hour, and I bolted myself to a chair in the den and autographed all of the remaining books of the living White House for Christmas presents, rising with a relieved feeling that my Christmas work was almost done, at least for those people that came in groups. There were still a lot of special ones. The days are pleasant here. The country is in a picky mood, and the press quick to be ugly. Total news of Sunday was that we'd driven too fast going to church. Today there was a big story on the front page of the Star. The very important headline, "He was always bossy, sister says of Johnson," and some columnist spoke of Barry Goldwater's being at El Morocco, looking ruddy and vigorous and chipper and happy. "He looks like he won the election," somebody remarked. And the inevitable somebody else said, "The way things have been going for LBJ, maybe he did." A series of small pinpricks. One's job is to concentrate on the work at hand and not let energy be diminished by annoyance.